Hey, if you're a guest this morning, would you just raise your hand one more time? We just want to welcome you with a warm round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, look at all that. Praise God. Thank you so much. Yeah. There is a welcome card in the pack, in the seat back in front of you. Fill that out. Place it in the offering in just a few minutes so we can have a record of your visit. Thank you so very much for being here with us. Our ushers are going to prepare themselves to receive our morning tithes and offering. This is your last opportunity to give in 2017. If you haven't given yet, I encourage you to give in 2017. Many of you are faithful givers, and the work of Bethany has gone on because of faithful givers like so many of you, and we certainly do appreciate it. I think about whenever we have the opportunity to give, I think about what Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4. He was talking about the ministry work that he had done, and he wrote the letter to the Philippians, and he said, "For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." He said, "No other church has helped me out, but you in Philippi, you sent me aid over and over again." He said, "Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more may be credited to your account." He says, "You give to me," but he says, "What I want is for God to give more back to you." He says, "I've received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent." He says, "You know what? God's taking care of me." And he said, "Your gift has just been such a blessing." Listen to what he says about the gift itself, though. He says, "Your gifts, they are a fragrant offering. They're an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God." You know, when we give, we don't give under compulsion. We don't give because we have to. We give because we want to, because of what God has done for us, because what God has given to us. And so this is an amazing opportunity for you to end 2017 with the best offering that you can, just to show God how much you love him, and give it to him as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Give him the tithe because it's his, and then give him an offering, just a free will love offering to say, "God, I love you." Let God know how much you love him. Because we all know the next verse, and we all quote this next verse, but we don't understand that it's tied into how we give. Verse number 19, Philippians chapter 4 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." It doesn't say my God will meet all my needs. Wow, it really got quiet in here. You start talking about money, and when you say it's not about my needs, no, it says my God will meet all your needs. Now, well, you're the "your" right now because I'm talking, so it's like, hey, Pastor Tim, I'm still the... When you give, God blesses others. And when you bless others, guess what? God blesses you. It's a wonderful circle. But if you withhold from God, what's God going to do? Yeah, that'll preach, won't it? Okay, close your eyes for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We know you're a gracious God. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God that is more than enough and that you provide more than enough. But when we hold back, God, your hands are tied because you told us to test you in giving of tithe, which is yours. And if we withhold the tithe, your word says you withhold the blessings in our life. God, when we give a free will offering, when we give above and beyond, when we exercise faith and we give, God, the windows of heaven are opened up to us. And Lord, you bless us. And it's not just in financial blessings, Lord, but you keep us healthy so we don't have to pay doctor bills. You keep our cars running so we don't have to put money into our vehicles. You do all sorts of stuff that we probably don't even recognize as blessings. But we're grateful for what you do. God, I pray for those that have had a difficult year this year. I pray for those that have struggled financially. I pray for those that may even be out of work. Maybe here recently they've lost their jobs. And God, they're wondering, "Pastor Tim, you don't know what we're going through. You have no idea the financial shape we're in." God, I pray that you would speak to their heart this morning. I pray that you would just whisper in their ear that you've got their life in your hands and you're working behind the scenes to help them. And Lord, we just receive from your hand all the blessings that you have for us, spiritually, financially, physically, mentally, emotionally. God, open the windows of heaven. May we close out this year on just a beautiful note of spending time in your presence. And may we start the new year just looking forward to what you have in store for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have wonderful guests here with us, the Brockton Teen Challenge Choir. They're going to be singing. They're going to be ministering in testimony. As the offering bags go back, I'm going to take the top off of the benevolence offering, our thanks offering, while they sing their first song. If you feel like you want to give in the thank offering to end the year, please feel free to do that as well. Can we welcome Teen Challenge from Brockton as they come to minister in music? Give them a big round of applause.
Let's go. Good morning, everyone. It's always an honor and a privilege to stand up here and share the faith and the hope that I have found, and also the ministry of Teen Challenge, a ministry that transformed my lives and countless other lives before me and countless lives to come. And you play an intricate part of that. Teen Challenge exists to bring life-changing hope to addicts and their families, but we couldn't exist without your continued love and your support and your prayers. So for that, we are grateful and in your debt. And my name is Paul Henderson. I'm 41 years old. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Matter of fact, my father took his own life when I was 2. And then when my mother remarried, I was abused by a new friend of this new family that I was married into. So from the very beginning, I thought if there was a God, I didn't want any part of it. I blamed everything on him, and I spent the next 35 years running as far away from him as I possibly could. At the age of 10, I discovered alcohol, and I thought I had found a solution to all that fear and that anger and that I had inside. And I spent the next 25 years after that trying to consume the world until the world eventually consumed me. I walked through the doors of Teen Challenge Western Pennsylvania on October 8th, 2012. And there was a sign above the door. It said, "He who the sun sets free is free indeed." And I had no idea what that meant, but I know I felt a sense of peace at that moment. That everything was going to be okay. And from that day, the gospel was shared. And so whether you're in one day or 365, whatever it is, the gospel of Jesus Christ is shared continuously, and that's the hope that we have. After graduating in 2013, I served at Teen Challenge Western Pennsylvania. From there, I had the privilege of going out to Teen Challenge in New Jersey. They have a new campus out there. I was had the privilege of doing the development services there and church services. But if I can stop my testimony right there and just be real, there's no titles in heaven. I've been in Brockton now for about 7 weeks. And how many of us are grateful that when we are faithless, we serve a faithful God? And even though I'm faithless, he is still faithful because he cannot deny himself. And, I forgot my first love. And on November 4th, I made a decision to step away from that. And I know at that moment, my flesh took over, and I was as far away from him as I possibly thought I could be. But God, because I know that day it wasn't me that cried out. It was the spirit of him who lived inside of me that cried out. And he reminded me that it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives within me. And this life that I am to live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So I am eternally grateful to have an opportunity to share the faith and hope that I have found in him. And that may my testimony be of service to someone if you're struggling with unconfessed sin or whatever it is. God knows. And if he has a calling on your life like he has on mine, I can't outrun him no matter how hard I try. So thank you so much.
All right, good morning, church. My name is Jordan Rivera. I'm 22 years old, and I'm from Fitchburg, Massachusetts. All right, let's get right into it. My story, I come from a wonderful family. I was brought up probably almost perfect, and, had a good father, had a good mother, always went to church, and, they did the best they could do, but, they served God, they did, just did what Jesus asked of them. But, the devil didn't like that he couldn't get to my parents. So my mom says, the devil, then tried to get to her kids, and then he tried to get to me, and in a way, I let him in. But, I'm just thankful, that I have praying parents and a praying wife that, they stood by my side, because what I put them through, I would never expect them to be supporting me here. You know, I've taken so much from them, and you know, but God, He forgives me for that, and I forgive myself. That's where it has to come in first. Like, I need to forgive myself for what I've done, because I know I'm forgiven by Jesus Christ, and you know, and I'm just thankful for His mercy on my life, and yeah, grew up playing sports. Was really athletic, you know, always involved in every single sport I could be involved in, and you know, up until high school, you know, I was messing around with recreational drugs, like smoking weed, doing cigarettes and stuff, and my mom thought I was just going to go through a phase, you know, that phase that every kid goes through, but she had no idea of the crowd I was actually hanging out with. Once I got into high school, I started, you know, running away from sports, started not caring about sports, and if you ask them, that was my life. But, you know, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd, and, you know, got introduced to Percocets, and it ran off from there, and, you know, I was doing those for a couple of years, and, you know, it got too expensive. I mean, I was stealing money from everybody I could, and after they figured out my tricks, I didn't know where to get the money to, you know, support an expensive habit like that, so I went to heroin. You know, it's cheaper, it's a lot stronger, and me sick in my mind and my head, I was like, oh, let's go and get it, you know? So I chased that for a while. I mean, and all this time, I had my first son when I was 14 years old, me and my wife. And, you know, me and my wife, we haven't always been together. And when I started doing Percocets, I was with some girl who was no good for me. No, you know, she was just pretty much a running partner for me. And, you know, my mom prayed every day. And, you know, Lord, if it's your will, he'll be with her. If it's not, I know you'll bring the right person back into his life. And in 2015, after four long years of, you know, just being lost in the world and whatnot, he brought me back my wife, who I had my son with, and I'm thankful for that. And, you know, in a way, I feel guilty, a lot of guilt and shame, because I brought her into something she had no idea what was going on, and I never told her about my addiction. She, you know, she probably had a little clue, but I never really, you know, fully told her, so I've done some things to her that I regret, but I know I'm forgiven, you know, by him, most of all, and by her now as well, so I'm just thankful for that, and thankful for this Placine Challenge. I never thought I'd be here. Never thought I'd be up here singing to you guys, you know, speaking from a pulpit. I never thought I'd be there. But I'm just thankful for parents who brought me to church. Even when I was sick and suffering, my mom made me get up and go to church. You're living in my house, you're coming to church. And I'm thankful for that, you know, and thankful for tough love, because that's what I needed, actually, to finally just surrender my life and, you know, decide to make a change. And I've been here for a little over 6 months, and you know, I'm expecting a third child. I have two beautiful boys down there right now, and a beautiful wife here supporting me, and I have another one that's to come, and I'm just thankful for God giving me, you know, them, my parents, and just doing the work that only He can do, and just give Him all the glory. And the verse I stand on is 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it says, and He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Thank you.
I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul, and I can say it is well, and Jesus has overcome, and the grave is over.